You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
I have a very special guest this afternoon. I wonder if you know him. Do you? His name is Tal Oran. He's a world traveler and a peace advocate. And we're going to talk about what's happening in Israel right now. And I saw a video a little while ago. Tal. How was your doubles today, boy? How was your doubles?
I was just going to tell you, I'm literally just back from the kitchen.
Wow.
After Iranian ballistic missile barrage, eating doubles and listening
wow.
to soca.
So I'm in it's only mood. Right. That's the right thing to do in a soca and doubles.
Absolutely.
All I'm missing is probably some punching. I don't know. I'm just saying. Well, thank you so much, Tal, for joining us this afternoon as we are here to talk about the update on what's taking place in Israel. You're located in Israel, right?
Yes, I'm coming to you live right now from Tel Aviv.
Wow, Tel Aviv. And I know it's sudden, and I know that we are it's on short notice, but I'm glad that you're here to talk to us about what's taking place, because the way how things are going now, it's so hectic. And I want you to tell us, so far, what's your experience like in Israel? Tell us what's happening, what's going on. Give us an update.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And it's I know it's short notice also, but I'm always happy to come back to one of my favorite countries I've ever been to.
Love it.
Trinidad and Tobago. Absolutely amazing country you guys have. Around 5 days ago, the U.S. and Israel started a joint strike on the Islamic regime of Iran, which has now erupted into a full-blown regional war with, I believe, over 15 or 16 countries involved now.
Wow.
Here in Israel, we've been frequently running to bomb shelters. I have been alone today 9 times into the shelter. I've heard probably 100 or so ballistic missiles exploding over my head. And even, by the way, just a warning now to you and your viewers, the sirens may go off on my phone during this. So
yeah,
I have to run
because I was now coming to that, because I know I was looking at BBC, and the reporter, whilst he was having a conversation with his counterparts, his alarm went off on his phone, and they were asking him, like, yeah, hey, should we go? And he was like, no, we're safe here. But I was a little scared, because listen, I mean, to be in a situation like that, an environment like that, it must be scary, is it?
You know, we're kind of used to it. My family for 4 generations have been dealing with this, for 3 generations in this land. I've been dealing with it for the last 2 years living here.
Wow.
So we kind of get used to it. Now we're more focused on helping to liberate the amazing people of Iran from this oppressive government and doing whatever it takes. This is our part as Israelis. We need to stay in bomb shelters.
Mm-hmm.
But we're happy to do it, you know? We're happy. We're doing it with a smile on our face.
Wow. So what is the feeling like right now? I mean, you're safe right now, thankfully. So tell us what the atmosphere is like. Tell us what's happening with persons around. Let us know how you're feeling at this moment.
You know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very optimistic about, you know, war is never a fun thing, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible thing. And I know, because when I was in Trinidad and Tobago a year ago, I know even there what was going on between Israel and Gaza was definitely a hot topic in Trinidad and Tobago. I remember having conversations with people about it there.
Mm-hmm.
So war is never a fun thing, but this war has, you know, a potential to change the Middle East and maybe even the world forever.
Mm-hmm.
With a free Iran, an Iran that actually can work with the Western world, that have relations with Israel, have relations with the Gulf states, it changes everything. I mean, it literally changes everything. So we're very optimistic. I'm personally feeling very optimistic, and I've never seen my nation, the Israeli people, come together so together on this one thing, which is, you know, having to do our part to liberate the people of Iran.
Right. Nice. And thanks so much for sharing that. Thank you so much, Oran, for sharing that. Mr. Oran, or should I call you Tal? I like Tal. I'll call you Tal. Thanks so much for sharing that, Tal. Now, from what you've seen or even heard, how are ordinary citizens coping with the intensification of the military operations and economic disruptions? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so gas prices have gone up. I'm sure people all over the world are feeling this.
Mm-hmm.
Gas prices are, I think, doubled just in the last couple of days. You're already feeling it also through grocery prices, imported products. Everything is halted. Our airport is closed now for the foreseeable future. One of the big things that happened, I think this could probably even affect people in Trinidad and Tobago, Dubai. Dubai was struck by ballistic missiles, the airport of Dubai.
Yeah.
And, you know, this literally delays flights all over the world because that's the biggest airport, most busiest airport in the world. So, you know, these are just some of the effects that are going on right now. This is a very, very, very intense moment in the Middle East, and it has huge ramifications for everybody in the neighborhood. Everyone.
No, I'm getting some messages coming in. I'm going to read them for you. And of course, sure. I'm going to be opening the phone lines in a short while because everyone is excited. Everyone is willing to speak to you. And I mean, being there in Israel at this time, listen, you're like a celebrity, you know. You are. Because so much things are happening there. And we here in TNT, we don't really have a full understanding of how persons are feeling. Now, what's your understanding of the humanitarian situation? Let's talk about that a little bit, especially for displaced persons in Lebanon and civilians under threat in Israel and the wider region. Can you talk about that? What's your understanding of the humanitarian solution?
Luckily, situation. In Israel, we have the Home Front Command who's really looking out for us. This is a division of the army that sets out alerts for us.
Mm-hmm.
So the damage to civilian life in Israel, while it has happened, has been minimal.
Right.
We've had, I believe, 9 deaths so far and around 700, 800 people who have been injured or affected by it. Homes have been exploded. I was literally 2 days ago at the impact site of one of these ballistic missiles. I saw it with my own eyes. Hundreds of people with suitcases packing up to leave their homes that they've been in for years. I saw it with my own eyes. Videos on my Instagram if anyone wants to see it. It's a 6-foot hole in the ground that literally eviscerates everything
six
in the surrounding.
6 foot, you're saying?
6 foot hole, yeah.
Wow.
And they fired it straight to a basketball court. In a school. And blew up a school.
That's crazy.
Here in Israel. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's kind of the effects, but the humanitarian situation, the biggest focus all of us should be having around the world is on Iran.
Right.
Tens of thousands of people were slaughtered by the Islamic regime there, and it has gotten zero coverage by Western media.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know. I would assume that most people in Trinidad and Tobago also don't know this, but just tens of thousands of people killed by the regime there, all for wanting peace and freedom and making peace with the West and making peace with Israel.
Right. Gotcha. Thank you so much for sharing that, Tal. And guys, if you're not joining us, we're here with Tal Oran. He's a world traveler and, of course, a peace advocate. He's living or based right now in Israel. And you all know what's happening in Israel, right? Now, someone sent me a message, and let me say good afternoon, good afternoon to Riaz. He's locked in. And Riaz wanted to know how you felt about the genocide of thousands of children in Gaza. Can you speak about that? Is that okay?
Of course. I believe. This is what I do for my work is all day I debate. So in Israel, actually globally, it's never been recognized as a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, a lot of questionability about this term genocide in Gaza. But again, for me, when I come onto a platform like this, the most important thing to point out is that more people have been killed in Iran just in the last 2 months than even the highest estimates in Gaza. So it's so important that we shift our focus to talking about the people of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They are on paper Muslims, just like the people in Gaza, even though they don't really believe in Islam. And they are dying right now at the hands of a government that is killing them just for having a different belief system. It is an actual genocide, like a real genocide that's going on there. And what drives me insane is that every time you want to have a conversation about the people of Iran,
mm-hmm.
that's what happens, what just happened right now. I'm assuming probably a Muslim or an Arab who wrote that message
mm-hmm.
To you, and they never want to talk about the people in Iran. They always want to shift focus to Gaza.
Right. And I've seen that, huh? I did. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Tal. I want to find out, too, the geopolitical implications, because that's a big thing, right? Now, how do you interpret the involvement of global powers? So let's say particularly in the role of the United States in this conflict.
Well, listen, the Ayatollah regime, the mullahs of the IRGC, they have been threatening the United States of America. They have killed many Americans through their proxies. They have killed many. And they've been threatening the United States of America for literally 47 years. So the fact that Donald Trump has actually stepped up to the plate and put, you know, this amazing viral video going on the last couple of days of an interview with Kamala Harris and with Joe Biden saying, what is your message to the leaders of Iran? And both of them say, don't. And then Donald Trump is like, I'm going to blow him up.
Wow. Like, it's,
there's a, you know, he actually has, for a lot of us people in the Middle East, minorities in the Middle East like me, he has been a beacon of light because he actually stands up for us. He's standing up for us, people who are oppressed by Islamic jihadists here in the region. This includes all Christians in the Middle East, Yazidis, Iraqi Mandeans, Coptic people, Persians, Kurds, all these people, Jews in the Middle East, all oppressed by Muslims here. So Donald Trump is almost his beacon of light that we're looking to, saying, hey, he's actually coming to help us gain some dignity in this region again.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Tal, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're here with us, because a lot of persons listening right now, you know, they don't know. They just see pictures and videos, and having this conversation live, it's very important for us. And if you're now joining us, good afternoon and welcome. Freedom 106.5 FM. We are talking with Tal Oran, a world traveler and a peace advocate. He's there at Israel. Now, Tal, do you see the conflict, the current conflict escalating into a broader regional war, or encourage restraint and diplomatic engagement? Tell us why.
Honestly, my friend, it's kind of as regional war as it can be at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't get any more regional than it is. Iran was firing, the IRGC, the Islamic regime of Iran, was firing rockets at Turkey today, at the NATO bases in Turkey. So, like I said earlier on, it's about 17 countries or so that are involved in this current war. It is as much of a regional war as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
They're basically firing rockets at Europe. Cyprus is involved now. So as for escalation, I'm not sure what else, how much more of this can escalate past this point. It's pretty intense. Ballistic missiles are flying all over the region. People are returning fire. I actually do see a point where Iran, the Islamic regime of Iran, will run out of rockets. That probably is going to be fast approaching, too, because an intense military campaign at the basis of the U.S. and Israel is in place right now. And they are going to be bombing the ever-living roti out of the regime.
Wow.
So, we're looking at probably a de-escalation, in my opinion, relatively soon.
I gotcha. Thank you so much. Now, we are getting a call. I don't know if you're open to taking calls. Yeah.
Absolutely, I would love to.
So let's get into the conversation, 625-2257 or 627-3223. We are getting a call online too, so let's hear who's there. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kari.
Hey, buddy, so, what's up?
Good afternoon, Kari.
Hi.
I'm touring in the Middle East. My brother, our government have ever called you guys any help from Trinidad? Just
ask that
question.
All right, gotcha. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much. So he was asking, I don't know if you heard, he was asking if anyone called from Trinidad and Tobago giving you all help. That's what he asked.
Oh, like support from Trinidad and Tobago? I think the government of Trinidad and Tobago has been pretty neutral between the mediation between Israel and Palestine, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure that any, like, aid has necessarily come from Trinidad and Tobago, but I know that Port of Spain and Tel Aviv should definitely be considered sister cities, because they're so, people love food in both cities, people love partying in both cities, very open-minded, liberal, loving people in both places. So I think we should make a deeper connection if we haven't already, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you, if there's ever been any aid coming from Trinidad and Tobago to Israel.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you something very controversial here. And have you heard anything
from... Sure, I like controversial.
You like it?
I mean, spicy questions.
You have part Trinidad news, so, I mean, it's built in, right? No, have you heard from U.S. President Donald Trump for the reason of the war? Did you hear anything on the ground about that?
The reason of the war is regime change. Yeah, the reason for the war has been, they've been threatening for a while. They tried to do negotiations with this regime. But this regime, people don't understand what this regime is. If I could explain, it's a Shia Islamic regime that they follow an idea called Mahdism, which means they're looking for an end of the world, and they're looking for it very soon.
Wow.
They are willing to nuke other countries. They're willing to kill themselves just to bring on the end of days that they believe in from their interpretation of Islam. And so they're not really a people you can negotiate with. People have tried negotiating with them for 47 years, and it's always fallen through. Mm-hmm. And so the reason for this war is to change this regime and hopefully install a more friendly to the West regime, somebody that can actually work under the Abraham Accords, making a more peaceful region in the Middle East, a regime that won't block the Strait of Hormuz, which is now destroyed shipping all over the world, made prices higher for everyone, including Trinidad and Tobago, for the last 2 years. So that's the main reason, is to bring some level of stability in this region again.
But is it working, though? Does it look like if it's going to work for the regime change?
Look, this regime is on its final legs. It doesn't have any legs to stand on. The people of Iran hate this regime. They have been standing against it. And now they've had the biggest slaughter. Some people estimating up to 100,000 people in the last 2 months have been murdered by this regime. It's massive. So it doesn't have any legs to stand on anymore. It's now, its leader has been taken out by the U.S. and Israel. 40 of its top commanders have been taken out. They don't have internet. They're running out of gas. They're running out of food. They're running out of water. They've had a drought for the last 3 years. It's just a matter of time at this point, and kind of like that last flick to basically take them out.
Yeah. No, Tal, you are a world traveler, right? No, you've traveled extensively, and we must say, how does this current situation compare to other long-term conflicts you've observed worldwide? Is there any comparison?
Nothing like this.
Maybe
the biggest. I mean, we're living through what will be written down in history books for the rest of time. This is maybe one of the biggest and most pivotal moments in the history of the Middle East. Maybe the history of the world is akin to the fall of the Berlin Wall. You're literally removing a Nazi-esque regime that has destabilized the entire region and made not just Israel and the Middle East dangerous. This has made South America dangerous. This has made the entirety of the world, anywhere that has allegiance to the regime or to this Ayatollah, has made it more dangerous. So we're looking at a massive change globally after this.
Wow. Now, as a peace advocate, right, what messages do you think are most important to communicate right now to both the affected populations and the wider global audience? What do you think is the correct message? Because this is happening right now and we are all affected worldwide. So what message do you think would be vital?
So I follow the dogma that President Trump follows as well. It's called peace through strength. I'm a Middle Easterner, as you can see me. I'm a brown Middle Eastern guy. My family heritage goes back to Iraq. That's who I am. I can't deny it. And in this region, unfortunately, we speak through strength and strength only.
Yeah.
This is not a Western, liberal, or democratic region. They don't understand what democracy means here. They don't even understand what rights or human rights really mean in this region. This region speaks through strength. And so the idea is we need to project those of us who want a level of democracy, a level of liberal values, a level of freedom in this region. We need to project our desires over the people trying to take them away from everyone else. In this scenario, it's what we call Islamists or jihadists, the people who are running Iran. They want to cast their way of life onto everybody. We, the people of Iran, the people of Israel, people of the UAE, of Saudi, of Bahrain, and even people in North Africa and other parts who are disaffected in the Middle East, we reject that premise. We're willing to fight for it violently if we need to project our ideals over them. Yeah. We will no longer be dhimmis, and we will no longer be subjugated to living under Islamism or jihadism in this region. We refuse it.
Definitely. Gotcha. Thank you so much. And guys, if you're now joining us, good afternoon to you. We are here with Tal Oran, a world traveler and a peace advocate. He's located in Israel. And we know what's taking place between the U.S., Israel, and Iran. And Tal, let me ask you something here real quick, because, I mean, a lot of our listeners want to know, if for some reason you're sitting here having a chat with us and you've heard the alarm go off on your phone, what happens? What happens next? What's the steps? Because we want to know what's going on.
So we have to look for the nearest safe room or safe place. These can, you know, I'm lucky enough, I'm very grateful to live in a house that actually has a safe room built into it. But many people around the country are not that lucky. Even my own grandma doesn't have something like that. So you have to run to the nearest bomb shelter, which could be a minute run away. Luckily, this home front command gives you a warning about 5 to 10 minutes before the missiles are incoming. And then the really scary siren takes place about 60 seconds before the missile is going to make impact in your area.
Wow.
So from that moment, the sirens will blare and you have 60 seconds to find the safest place you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And around that time, after the sirens finish blaring, you will hear and sometimes you will feel the impacts of these missiles throughout your entire body.
What?
The one that made impact just 1 kilometer away from me 2 days ago, I felt throughout my whole body. You literally feel it reverberate in your whole body.
Wow, that's yeah. I don't know if to say it's exciting to hear about or fearful to hear about, but that would be an experience, right?
There definitely is an element of excitement to it, but again, like I can find the jovial fun in war, but war is war, and the reality of death is, you know, it's very imminent, and you feel it.
Yeah.
So in the moment, is you just have to kind of program your body to think in the moment, take every second by second, and realize, like, you know, you're grateful for every minute you have on earth. We're a God-fearing nation here in Israel. We, you know, we love God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the Bible. We believe in him, and we practice this. And when we're in those bomb shelters, we do prayers, and we believe that God will mm-hmm. carry us through to the next day.
Okay, understood. I got you. Thank you so much for that. Now, Tal, listen, I have real questions to ask, you know, and I'm watching at my time here. I've got to go to the 4 p.m. news headlines at the top, but let's talk about the area that you're in. Are businesses, schools, and even transportation operating normally, or is the country in a partial shutdown? Tell us about that.
Partial shutdown. So mass gatherings have been closed for the most part. Even though we've had a national holiday, kind of like what you guys have as Carnival, we call it Purim. We've had that the last 48 hours. It's been a big celebration. So people have been going into the bomb shelters and partying with full-on DJs.
Wow. They sound like Trinis to us, though. They sound like Trinis.
Israelis and Trinis are so similar. It's crazy. But that's for another time.
Yes, we'll talk about that some other time.
But yeah, so most public gatherings have been closed off. Public transportation is running partially. A lot of stops have been closed. A lot of the light rails have been shut down. So we are in sort of a shutdown mode. A lot of businesses and schools are not operating right now. And cities and streets are quiet because, you know, like me today, I've had to run to the bomb shelter 9 times. I can't even count. It could have been 10 already. You can't really do much because every hour or so you get a siren. You can't really travel far. You can't go anywhere. You need to be near a bomb shelter.
Right. Now, are there visible signs of increased military mobilization in public spaces?
Well, in Israel, we always have it. We have a civilian army. The citizens who live in Israel are part of the army force, part of the IDF. So mobilization is literally, we just see soldiers everywhere all day, every day. That being said, we have made a ground invasion in Lebanon the last 2 days to start dismantling Hezbollah and the terrorist infrastructure that's there. And of course, we have military fighter jets blasting us in the ears all day, every day, because they're flying back and forth between Iran alongside the United States of America.
Wow.
So you hear it. I mean, you feel the war. It's happening right above your head the whole day.
Nice. And talking about United States, how is the involvement of the United States being perceived on the ground?
We are so grateful. We are so, so grateful to stand with the United States of America and the 6 U.S. Servicemen and women who just lost their lives. Mm-hmm. We know the names of 4 of them. We are indebted to them. And I don't say this just as an Israeli or a Jew. I say this as a Middle Eastern person who has heritage from the country of Iran as well. We say this as Iranians. We are so, so grateful to the United States of America and the soldiers of the United States of America for standing with the free Iranian people who want freedom, with Israel, and obviously with this idea of freedom in the Middle East and wanting to bring on a new peace in the Middle East. We are so appreciative of it.
Because, you know, some persons are not in favor of the war. You know that,
of course,
right? Yeah?
Many are. I would say maybe most people in the world are not.
Wow. So how are some of the neighboring countries being viewed in this moment? As threats, as mediators, or even silent observers? What do you think about that?
Pretty much everyone has just become friends. It's actually quite remarkable. All these nations that have kind of on paper hated each other for the longest time. The Islamic regime of Iran has just blasted all of us with missiles, every single country. So they they're kind of losing all potential friendship. Even the countries that were mediating peace with between Iran and Israel, like Qatar and Oman, have been hit by ballistic missiles, so they're becoming more sympathetic to Israel. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've all become unlikely allies in the last week.
Right, right. Now, Tal, you are a peace advocate, right? Now, in moments like this, does advocating for peace become harder or more urgent?
No, this is peace through strength. What Donald Trump and Bibi Netanyahu have done with this assault on the regime of Iran, this is called peace through strength. We have identified, for lack of better terms, a cancer in our region, a cancer in our body, a cancer in our home that is killing, destroying our region. And what we're doing is we're applying serious pressure. You could call it chemotherapy. You could call it radiation to destroy that threat, to save our people, and to usher in peace and tranquility again. Peace through strength only happens when you're willing to use the strength, when you're willing to use force. It's the only way it can happen.
So what message, let's just say, for instance, you get the opportunity to send a message to world leaders today in the region. What would you say to them?
Support the United States of America and Israel, the UK, all the European nations, France specifically. France is the reason the Ayatollahs gained power in Iran in the first place. France is responsible for what has happened in Iran for the last 47 years. Wow. Every single country should be backing Israel and the United States, not only morally, but militarily, getting involved to destroy this regime once and for all. And let's bring on a new peaceful region, a new peaceful Middle East that we've never had before.
Now, looking at the end of the tunnel, do you see a bright light when it comes to preventing further escalation, or this looking like something that it's going to be happening for some time?
Listen, this is the region of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. We have never, ever had peace here, not in the last 5,000 years.
Yeah.
That being said, it's the closest we've ever been to having peace, especially with something like the Abraham Accords. Mm-hmm. And if Iran, if the regime is successfully overthrown there, they already have committed to something called the Cyrus Accords, which is to bring back peace between Israel, Iran, and the Abrahamic, or the Islamic nations, the Arabic nations around there. So the light at the end of the tunnel is, if we can achieve this regime change, if we can actually overthrow this Islamic regime, we might be looking at a regional cooperation of the likes we've never seen. Does it mean there won't be wars? No, there will be wars and skirmishes forever. You can't stop that in the Middle East. But will we have a mostly peaceful region? That's what we aspire for. That's what we want.
Yeah, gotcha. Thank you so much for sharing that, Tal. And we do have a phone call. Let's get it in. 625-2257 or 627-3223. Let's hear who's there. Hello, good afternoon.
I'm calling back, Ms. Garvey.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. I want to ask Mr. Tal how the borders is. We have 200 citizens of Trinidad and Tobago living in that part of the woods, if you know what I'm talking about, right? How the borders, if we want to come home,
if they can.
Yeah, could you pose that question to Mr. Tal, please?
Of course, that's no problem at all. Thank you so much for your call. And the caller wanted to know what's going on with the borders. We have about 200 persons there on site in Israel. Is it possible for them to get out of Israel?
200 trinnies in Israel?
Yeah, that was reported to us.
Wow. Well, if any of them are listening, I want you to know I'm so happy you're in my country. Welcome. And please, after the war, all of you guys should come. I hope more Trinis come and visit us. Mm-hmm. The only ways to leave the country right now are through our two land borders, through Jordan and Taba in Egypt. It would be very easy for Trinis to leave in that way. I think if you want to get out of the country, this is your safest bet, is to take a bus down to Egypt, to the border of Egypt with Eilat, or Aqaba with Jordan, or you could go through the King Hussein bridge and pass over there. It's called the Allenby Bridge, I believe. And you could go through Jordan, then fly out through Amman or Egypt. Egypt probably being the best because it's the quietest one right now.
Yeah.
But flights domestically are shut down right now for the foreseeable future. So you can't get out during a flight here.
I gotcha. Thank you so much for that, Tal. And last question, because we got to go to the 4 p.m. news headlines. And before we go, in your honest assessment, are we closer to peace or further away than we were a year ago? Really, really quickly, tell us about that.
100% we're closer to peace. Hamas in Gaza has been dismantled, and Gaza no longer poses a threat. The Houthis in Yemen have been incapacitated. Hezbollah is barely functioning. And now the head of the snake, Ali Khamenei, has been finished in Iran. Right. We are looking at the pinnacle of potential peace in the Middle East. We just need to push it right over the edge now.
Gotcha. I understand. Well, Tal, thank you so much for joining us today on Freedom 106.5 FM. And listen, be safe and be safe out there and enjoy as much as doubles as you can, I must say. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having
Thanks
me.
So much Thank for you. Joining us. Thanks so much. Have you. A good one and be safe.
You
yeah.
too. So
you're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.